Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. We're glad to have you all here with us this morning. Will you all please stand up as we begin our worship? G. All right, we're going to open up a little bit of worship this morning. Power in the blood. Shed his blood and redeemed us unto you, God. You called us unto you, God. You opened our eyes. We've seen our sin, and God, we called unto you, and that power of his blood covered it all. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for it. But Lord, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon our worship and upon the word that you have through Richie for us this morning, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You all may be seated.
Good morning. Last week, you gave $40 for the Olacock State Mission offering. Our goal is $4,000. So please pray and see what the Lord would give you. And remember, I know the last few months, we've been asking for different offerings, like the food pantry, things like that. We have been asking a lot from all of you. And you all are very generous. So please remember that the Lord will remember the gifts that you give. Today starts the week of prayer for the Olacock State Mission Offering. You have an insert in your bulletins. Please take some time for the next 8 days to pray for these needs. And right now we are going to watch a short video. Thank you.
Friend like you, as I've traveled across the United States, and certainly here in West Virginia, I see crosses just like these. And I wonder what the story is. Bernard Koffendoffer, a retired pastor and fellow West Virginian, committed to place these crosses up no matter the cost. God used him in a tremendous way to put conversation pieces regarding Christ in place. He gave sacrificially to get it done. He spent $3 million and he raised that money. He cashed in life insurance policies. He wasn't a wealthy, wealthy man, but he did what he could. God has blessed West Virginia Southern Baptist with all kinds of gifts and talents and abilities and capacities to serve him. And over these next 3 years, we are focusing on taking the gospel in and through West Virginia, using the gifts and talents and abilities and resources he's given us, and maximizing those for kingdom growth. You know, these crosses are inspirational, aren't they? I'm inspired by the story of Reverend Koffendoffer and his vision to make Jesus Christ known in and through West Virginia. And I hope that you'll be inspired by the Great Commission and the command of Jesus Christ to make Christ known in and through West Virginia.
We want to make Jesus known in and through Princeton, West Virginia.
In and through Mountain State Baptist Association.
I'm Pastor Josh Waybright of Faith Baptist Church in Mason, West Virginia. And we're serving in West Virginia to make Jesus known in and through West Virginia.
Making Jesus known in and through Calvary Baptist Church of Warr, West Virginia.
Disaster Relief is making Jesus Christ known in and through West Virginia.
We want to see the resurrected Christ proclaimed in and through Wellspring Church.
So, join us in the mission of strengthening and sending churches. And you be the church, let's be the church, and let's make him known in and through West Virginia.
You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving.
In and through West Virginia. You know, I'm sitting there and watching that video and I'm thinking, hey, Kevin, are you making Jesus Christ known through the community breakfast in Steubenville, Ohio? Doing your best. You know, and there's so many other things that we're doing. Are we making Jesus Christ known through our VBS? There's so many things that we're doing here where we're making Jesus Christ known. So continue to think about that and continue to do those things. Amen. We all plan. Stand up. We'll continue worship.
all of creation, sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay your burden down. And all of creation, sing with me now. Fill up the heavens, let His glory resound. And all of creation, sing with me now. Fill up your voice and lay your burden down. And all of creation, sing with me now. Fill up the heavens, let His glory resound. And every knee will bow. Oh, and every tongue praise the Father, praise the Son, and the Spirit in one.
Praise Him this morning. You guys, I know I'm really working my piano player pretty hard today.
Yeah. you that we can gather and we can sing of your great mercy. Lord, the mercy you showed upon us, your amazing grace that you have for us. Lord, I pray that today as we sit in this beautiful church today, Lord, that you bless us, that you keep us safe. But Lord, I also pray that your Holy Spirit rain down on this place. Lord, that we can hear you, see you, and run to you with everything we say and everything we do. God, as we study your word today, as we talk about your word, Lord, I pray that you open our heart and our eyes to what you have for us today. Lord, I pray these aren't my words. I pray that if at any point that I am not the man called to be here, that Lord, you silence my lips and rise up the man who is. And Lord, I pray that as we do this today, as we study you, as we talk about you, that Lord, we can truly have our hearts changed for you. And so Lord, it is in your great and most wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. So I titled this sermon, Tough Stuff. I gotta be honest, life doesn't always go the way I feel it should, right? And I'm sure there are many of you that feel the same way. I don't know about all of you guys, but sometimes I wake up and there are these days where, well, I have the best intentions. I plan to have a great day. I go out of my way to be ready to go, and whether it's the world, the day, or the deers, the world just doesn't—it just doesn't go my way. Most of you, though, I know out here living in this perfect world, have no problems, no issues ever in life, right? Okay. So let's be real for a minute. Some of us are going through some things. Some of us are going through things that we really don't even want to talk about because we don't understand it or it doesn't make sense. And I'm going to be honest, this hits in all levels, right? Because there's the really, really hard stuff. There's the stuff that you just don't want to even try to understand. And then there's the little things, right? Like when you have car issues. And in the moment, that still is tough stuff to deal with. Because some of us are struggling with some real, real difficult issues. I mean, there are people out there who are struggling with financial issues, right? Some of us out here may even be struggling with car issues or job issues or marital issues or children issues or parent issues, right? Death, loss, pain, tough stuff is all around us. And the honest truth is, I think that all of us, some way, shape, and or form, deal with this or have dealt with this in our lives. Visitors, non-Christians, and, well, the rest of Open Door, here's a friendly reminder. Tough times happens to all believers. Tough times happen to all people. It's not just set to non-believers or believers. Tough times happen to everyone. And I mean everyone. Knowing that I was preaching a couple weeks ago, I started praying about what God was going to set on my heart. And so I started praying, you know, Lord, provide a idea, a plan for where I should study. Where should I talk to the people today? Of course, asking God to provide an encouraging word to share. God led me to this, and by led me, I mean he led me through this. Because I've gone through some rough weeks. A couple weeks ago, and by that I mean 2 weeks ago to the T. Got up regular morning. It was a great morning. We were early for praise band practice, so we were going to beat Mike here, which, no disrespect, is not that hard, Mike. But we were on point to have a good morning. We were headed down, and we go down Coal Hill Road, which is the back road from our house, and I hit a deer. Now listen, I'm not saying this for sympathy. But I will tell you, I will get back at that deer someday soon. No, he's not dead. I was hoping he was dead, but when I came back around to put the car back, the deer got up and walked away. So, He's definitely sore. There's no question. Thanks, though, buddy. Here's the thing. Tough stuff happens, right? That's a minor thing. Inconvenient, but it's a minor thing in our lives. But if you remember, Pastor Larry just talked about some of his struggles after his surgery. The tough times he was going through after his surgery. Last week he talked to you guys about that. Tough stuff is not just something that Pastor Larry goes through, that Richie goes through, or that Zeke goes through, or Steve goes through. The truth is, we all go through tough times. So what happens when we're having a bad day or rough times or a tough time in life? How do we deal with that? How do we have those tough conversations? To be honest, I don't think we really do. I think that the tough conversations are sometimes uncomfortable. Like when I got here a couple weeks ago, and I told somebody I would have something for them, and I walked into the church, and they go, "Hey, where's this thing?" And I go, "Yeah, I don't have that." So sometimes tough times put us in a bad spot, and they're uncomfortable conversations. But I want to show you guys a couple things through that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a couple pieces of Scripture. I'm going to show you guys some people throughout Scripture that also had tough times. So we're going to start with just a couple verses, Exodus 14, chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. It starts off like this. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea and go on to dry land.'" All right, just a couple verses here. Let me give you some of the rest of the backstory. Long and short of it, Moses is having a conversation with God. He's worried about what's going on. He's scared about what he must do with Pharaoh and his army on his heels. Scared about the Israelites complaining and whining about the sea in front of them. It was quite literally like he was trapped between a sword and a wet place. Yeah, I know, bad pun. Just roll with me, John. I see you giving me that look. I could have done these motions to go with it, but all right. So the thing is, he was trapped. He's got to be thinking to himself, what did he get himself into? He wasn't exactly in a good scenario. He's got to make choices. He has to deal with the circumstances that are in front of him. But I know Moses is kind of like a big, important figurehead, right? We've heard about him throughout Scripture. If you've been in church for a long time, you've read all kinds of stories and heard all kinds of tales about Moses. So we'll go to some other guys. Don't worry. Look at Daniel chapter 3. And I'm only going to read one verse out of this, and then I'm going to do the quick explanation of it. But Daniel chapter 3, verse 21, this is Zeke's favorite verse for those of you who don't know. It says, "So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace." Just for you, buddy. It's a Wednesday night joke. Zeke was entertained by the fact that they were thrown in with all their clothes, and specifically that they mentioned trousers. Anyway, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you read the rest of this chapter, you'll see and hear the whole story here, but they were not exactly leaders. They're not the guys who are really the main characters of this story when you read throughout Daniel. They were friends of Daniel. They were faithful to the Lord. By following God's word and not the king's word, they put their lives in danger. The king said, "Worship my golden idol." The king created it. He worked so hard to put this in place, and yet these men said no. In doing so, they upset the man with the fire, so to speak. And he sent them into the furnace for a good burning. Do you guys think these guys woke up and thought, "Hey, let's go upset the king today"? Probably not. I doubt that they woke up and thought, "Hey, let's go start a fight." Probably not their idea either. I think it was more like, "Hey, this is what God's called us to do, and we're going to continue to do it." They were just doing what they were called to do. But because the king did not get his way, because they didn't follow the king's orders, and because of a hatred towards their people, they ended up in a difficult and hot situation. How about one more? How about Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14? 13 says, he sent back this answer, do not think that because you are in the king's house alone, of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Listen, the Jewish people, they were facing annihilation. They were facing genocide in this nation of Susa. Esther, a Jew, has to approach the king to save her people. However, approaching the king unsummoned could lead to death. This is not an easy thing. If the king doesn't hold out his golden scepter, she would have been killed. King Ahasuerus was known for making rash decisions. This guy wasn't exactly the, let me think over it, let me sit on it. Her life was at risk. Her people were at risk. She stood up, taking all of the risk, not knowing for sure what the outcome would be. Tough times for all of these people. I have one more example of a tough time, and most of you know this story, but we're going to read it anyway. If you look at Matthew 26, verse 23 and 24, Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Jesus is having the Last Supper with his people, right? These are the ones that he's been spending all this time coaching, training, leading, teaching. And yet he knows that someone is about to betray him. Jesus knows literally who is going to betray him. How would you feel if someone you've been teaching or spending time with, you knew they were going to betray you? How would you feel if someone you loved betrayed you? Jesus is Lord, and yet still he went through a tough time with that, right? These people throughout Scripture handled these things, and they handled them in different ways, but none of these circumstances could have been easy for any one of these people. And the honest problem here is, these are all scenarios that these people went through. You guys all have your own stories. You have your own things you're going through. If we sat and we asked every single person, hey, what's going on? Most of us really don't want to go through all of our baggage right in front of everyone, right? But the truth is, if we're being honest, all of us have something we're dealing with. We all have things we struggle with. We're all human. We all go through tough times. Sometimes, and some things are harder than others. So now that I have this intro out of the way, let me give you the meat of this sermon. So here it is. I have three things to remember about tough times. Number one, you are not alone, or you aren't alone. See, in the darkness night, it may seem like you're all by yourself. There are times when you are struggling, when you're going through things, when stuff just doesn't feel right, and it just feels like you're all by yourself because nobody's listening, because there's no one to hear you, there's no one to support you, because. And you know what? From an earthly standpoint, maybe you're right. I don't know what you're going through. I don't have all the answers to that, but I do know that maybe you don't have family or friends beside you, but the Lord always is listening. He is always there. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am with you, he says. See, God is always there. He's always listening. But it can be tough not having somebody physically here to guide us along the way sometimes, right? You have, most of us have that inert desire to have somebody along with us. And truthfully, most of us lean towards our parents or family members with that. But I have to remind you, sadly, Proverbs 27 reminds us of this little thing. It says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I remind you all of this because the honest truth is we're going to let friends and family members down. Look, I could look over at Kevin and Pam and I could ask if I'm the perfect son-in-law. And maybe if they're showing a little grace to me today and they're really feeling nice, they might say he's okay. But I can say for a fact that there is, I'm sure, a time or two when I've let them down. And the thing is, no matter how great your family is, no matter how great your friends are, at some point we're going to let you down. At some point, sometime, we're all human. We drop the ball. Or we get distracted. Or we have our own trials or tough times going on. But God is always there. He may not have the answer you want, but God is always there. Sometimes we don't like the answer of be still and wait. Sometimes we don't like the answer of not yet or not now. More often than not, I think most of us in this room are not patient people. And for you couple patient people out there, you are saints. All right? I usually look over to Pam for that because I find Pam to be one of the more patient people around because she does have to deal with me on a regular basis. And sorry, Dad, you too. But the truth is, right? Most of us are not patient people. Some of us do not like to hear, be patient. Some of us don't want to hear that you got to wait. But God is always there, and he is always listening. God is the one of any that will always hear you, and he hears the cry of his people. No, you're not like Moses. You don't get to have an outright conversation with him where he talks audibly right back to you. But you know what? He still hears your cries. He still hears you when you're asking for help. He sees you. And truthfully, through tough times, through dark moments, those times where you just want to give up, God is always there. And so do not give up when you're feeling all alone. Number two thing to remember about tough times is this. The church is a community. All right, here's the thing. The church is a community. Why is this important to remember? Because community is where you go for support. I got two verses. The first one comes out of Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And the second verse is Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be there for one another and that we're supposed to carry one another's burdens. Yesterday, a group of people went with me to do the Tough Mudder in Pittsburgh. Great time. It's a 5K. It's no big deal. It's just 3 miles. No, I didn't run it. Come on. I'm not running. But I had a good time. We had a blast. Most of us are scraped up or semi-sore. Nick, you okay? All right, he's okay. So the handful of people that went with me, though, they're mostly sore. But when we got up to the starting line, they have this hype guy that's there, okay? Really enjoy it. He's really good. He's got a great speaking voice. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, you know, like, his entire life, he's just been the hype man his entire life. And so you get to the very beginning of the start line, and he tells everybody, he's like, all right, everybody, listen. Let's get you all, get down on your knees. Let's sit down with me for 1 minute. And he sits everybody down, and so everybody takes a knee, and he gets kind of quiet for a second, and he goes, listen, mutters, this is Mutter Nation here. He goes, we're a community. We have each other's back. So if you see somebody injured, you know, you start doing this X, you make sure you have their back, that you try and support them. You can take their stuff, but make sure you're doing this so that they're taken care of, right? And then he goes, if somebody needs help getting up somewhere, make sure you give them a hand. You support them, because we are a community. We are Mutter Nation. And he starts talking about all this, and I'm listening to it, and I'm going, man, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be a community, which means that we're supposed to have each other's backs. Listen, it doesn't mean that we always agree with every single thing we do, all right? Some of you, if I said that I'm going to go do another 5K tomorrow, you'd look at me and think I'm crazy. And to be honest, I would be crazy. Please don't let me do that. If somebody sees me doing that, stop me, okay? But next year, when I go to do this again, I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to have some fun, and I'll probably convince at least one new person to go, maybe Peepaw over here, all right? But the truth is, we enjoy doing these things, and it's a community. But we as a church are a community as well. We should have one another's back. We should be supporting one another. When it says that we carry one another's burdens, that means when I know John's going through something, not only am I praying for him, but I'm doing anything I can to help him out. And church, please don't think that I'm saying that we don't do this at all, because we do. But there's usually just a small amount of us that are doing this. Where's everybody else at? Is everyone when it comes to being there for one another? When it comes to having one another's backs, where is it when we're in those tough times, when we're dealing with those tough issues, and why is it that we feel alone? We should have a bunch of brothers and sisters in the church here to be able to go, hey, I'm dealing with this. Anybody got anything I can do to get through this? Church is a place filled with hurting people. Because let's be honest, we are all sinners, and we've all fallen short of God's glory, right? Not one of you is perfect. I'm not perfect, far from it. Pastor Larry, I know you're watching. You're not perfect. Sorry, boss. Also, Don Bartoletti said hi. Throwing that out there. Listen, we're not perfect. The church is filled with not perfect people. That means we all make mistakes. For my Sunday school class, I know this is hard for you all to listen, but we're not always right. All right? No feedback from that one this time, but we're not always right. Even when we think we're always right, we're not always right, all right? Here's the thing. We are hurting people because we all have gone through stuff, and we all will continue to go through stuff. We are a community, which means we need to be there for one another. But my last thing I would like for you all to remember when it comes to tough times is that there is an end. See, the thing is, every good story comes to an end. Every bad day eventually comes to an end. Every bad week and good week comes to an end. Sickness comes to an end. Everything good and everything bad it ends. You may not like the timing. You may not like how it ends, but everything does end. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2 through 4 says this: there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 and 18 says this: therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Listen, tough stuff's hard. There ain't no two ways around it. Okay? And to be honest, sometimes there's nothing better than the end of those tough times. The end of financial struggles, the end of being sick, the end of those marital issues, the end of those unknown things. The end is nice sometimes. But there is an end. And the hard part is, that means sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes it means we have to struggle through. It means sometimes that we have to press on and endure. My friends, I can honestly say that the fact that there is an end is a good thing to remember, but it doesn't make it easier. And to be honest, in tough times, while these are three important things to remember, they don't make tough times better. I know that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that those three things that I just gave you are going to solve all of your tough days. Maybe they help you here and there. But that is why I have some practical application as well. Here are my three tips for getting through. These are not all-inclusive. They don't work for everybody. But they may work for you. Number one, lean on the Lord. This is to say, run to the Lord. Don't run away from Him. Run into the church. Don't run away from the church. We have to lean on the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. In due time. Does not mean your timing, because God's timing is not necessarily your timing. Sadly to say, if everything worked the way I wanted, half of you wouldn't be happy, because it's my way, not your way. Right? Because that's the way it goes. I'm the kind of person, I'd be okay with having a 5 a.m. worship service. Not everybody wants to be at 5 a.m., right? I'd also be okay with a 6 p.m. worship service. Not everybody wants to be up at 6. We could go both ways on that, right? Here's the thing. God's way, God's timing, God's plan is not necessarily what you have planned out. This verse is kind of hard because I like my timing and I like being in charge. I just do. I like it being my way, which, like my Sunday school class knows, I'm always right, so my way is usually better. It's a very large debate in our class because we have a lot of people who are right all the time. We're really not sure who's really always right other than me, but the truth is, yeah, you guys can't say anything right now. What are you going to do? The thing is, my timing is not God's timing, but he cares for us, and he wants us to run after him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So, what's that mean? Well, I feel like it's pretty plain and simple, but let me reiterate it for you guys. We have to give it to God. Okay? Not every tough time, not everybody struggling with a tough time can stand here and give it to God. But the truth is, if you're not right with God, if you're not serving God, if you're not in his word, if you're not praying, if you're not growing, learning, and sitting under some teaching, are you right with God? Have you given your life to him? Have you submitted to God and given your life over to him? Because if you haven't, that verse is kind of trying to lead you in a certain direction. And I'll spell it out just a little bit more. We're talking about salvation at that point, right? Because that's what it's talking about. If you haven't given your life over to him and given him everything you have, meaning that your life is focused on drawing closer to him and worshiping him with everything you say and everything you do, that means your ways are not always the right ways. It means that your paths are not the right paths, but he will lead you down and make your path straight. Because when you're pursuing Christ, when you're running after God, when you're leaning on the Lord, then, and only then, is he going to make your paths straight. It doesn't mean we always like his timing, though, right? My second tip for you all today, a tip for getting through, for dealing with tough times. Number two is pursue passion. What brings you joy? Are you a gamer, an athlete, a builder, an artist, reader, writer, singer, dancer, farmer, teacher, banker, mother, father, grandfather, grandmother? Are you a lawnmower? Oh, he knows who I'm talking about. Listen, everybody gets joy in their own things, right? Huh? No, not joy back there, like joy. Everybody gets happiness through their own things. Good call out, though. Not everybody understood that. Thank you. I can always count on you to have my back. I appreciate that, brother. Here's the thing. We all find joy. We all find happiness in different things. We're all passionate about different things. We find enjoyment in life in different things. Some of you, with the idea of running a Tough Mudder or a 5K, you're like, you are crazy. I get you. Yes, I am. It's okay. All right? Some of you, when I say that I'm, really enjoy playing board games, you're like, oh, board games? That's terrible. I get it. Not everybody's into it. Listen, the honest truth, I love board games. I love to sit and play games or learn new games. There's nothing better to me than teaching someone a new game. I got the luxury to teach Peepaw on a certain game recently. We're not going to specifically make fun of you for the game right now, Peepaw, but I got to teach him about this game, and I've trained him up in this game, and honestly, there's nothing that brings me more joy than getting to teach somebody how to play a new game, because I just enjoy doing it, especially if they like it. Then it's even better. Then we have this fun with it. Good job, buddy. Here's the thing. That came from my childhood. It came from my childhood because when I was a kid and my parents were fighting and screaming and yelling and getting violent, when I went and hid or stayed away from the action going on, I went in and played games. And I would get into these games and I would teach my brother how to play the games, or I'd make up my own rules, not just so I could win, but so that we could change the game and have more fun with the game, mostly so I could win all the time. But and we would do this as a kid because that was our escape. And so in my adult life, it's not just that it's an escape, it's that I find joy in something that was from my childhood, and I keep doing it. Now, I'm not a reader or a writer or a singer or a dancer, thankfully. You don't want me doing any of those things. But playing games, and teaching, and preaching is something that brings me joy. Running, not so much, but the camaraderie with a bunch of friends of doing something like that, it's a blast. If I had to do it by myself, I would probably never do it. But I find that joy because that's something I'm passionate about. And going through tough times, you need to find something that you're passionate about and pursue it. Because if you just let the pain and the issues and everything bring you down, and you lose sight of those things that you enjoy, you start to lose what makes you you. Ecclesiastes 8:15, so I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat, drink, and be glad. The joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life. God has given them under the sun. Here's the thing. We should be seeking to find things that we're passionate about, and we should be trying to do those. Should we be doing bad things? No, you shouldn't be doing bad things. If you're passionate about robbing banks, there's something else wrong. Just gonna tell you, right? But we can find activities that we enjoy doing, and we should pursue those kind of activities. My last tip for you all for getting through the tough times, and this one is very difficult. It's communicate with the community. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together as some of are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now I'm going to be honest with you all. This verse usually makes me laugh because it is a friendly reminder that even in the time that the Bible was being written, that the letters were being sent out, people were already trying to ditch church. I don't understand why. But they were already trying to give up on meeting together. And the thing is, church, we have to make sure we're communicating with one another. I've been here for 16 years. 16 years I've been coming here. Did you all know that Pastor Larry can't read your minds? I know. Kind of crazy. He might be able to read yours, all right? Yours is kind of easy, I got to be honest. Sushi bomb.
I don't even like sushi like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, the thing is, Pastor Larry can't read your mind. I'm trying to have your back, boss. He can't. It just can't happen. Here's the thing. I've spent a lot of time with some of you guys. I cannot read your minds. Some of your minds I don't want to read. But I can't read your minds. Your Sunday school teachers can't read your minds. Zeke, I know you got a lot of talents. Just out of curiosity, I'll confirm. Can you read the people's mind?
Just my
wife. We'll confirm with that later, okay? We can't read one another's minds. I could go through every single teacher, leader, or people who are serving in any type of way here at Open Door and ask if you know what somebody else is thinking. And beyond a shadow of doubt, I can say most of you are going to tell me I have no idea what they're thinking. The bad part about that is, unless you're asking and trying to draw close to people, you also don't know what they're going through. not everybody in this room is a loud personality like myself, right? Yeah. Not everybody in this room is honestly like me and Larry, where we could have a conversation with just about anybody down the street, and it just is a normal day for us. I often get made fun of because it's not about there being strangers. It's just a new best friend I didn't know I needed. But the thing is, not everybody in this room is like that, right? Actually, there's a lot of you in here that are introverts. Some of you guys don't prefer to go out of your way to like reach out and talk with other people. Some of you guys are totally okay with just being in a book or your phone or being alone. I would not last very long. I got to be honest with you. I have to have communication and talking with people. There's actually an article from Psychology Today that talked about how keeping stuff bottled up actually is a stressful situation, and it causes pressure and can cause heart issues. So, facts, I don't know. Anytime you read anything from Psychology Today, it's kind of like, all right, well, who's writing this now, right? But the problem is, there is some truth behind keeping stuff bottled up. It's not usually good for you to keep things bottled up, which is why communication with the community is so important. We got to communicate with one another. We need to share with one another when we're in need. I don't know if you're struggling. Do you need to come and tell me personally? No, maybe it's not me. Maybe you go talk to John. Maybe you like talking to John and you guys are friends, and you know what? You go to John and say, hey, John, I don't know, man. I just really feel like punching Matt today. Sorry, buddy. Right? Maybe you just have that issue. Or maybe you're like, hey, I'm just really, really sad and I can't explain why. Or maybe you go to whoever. But we need to communicate with the community. It's letting people know when we're struggling. It's letting people know when we're going through issues. And sometimes that means we complain about a bad day. Paula, thankfully, you checked up on me twice, right? Last week, I walked in and you asked how I was doing. And I was like, I'm okay. And you're like, she pulled a Richie move. And she didn't outright call me a liar like she probably should have. But she's like, no, you're not. And then this week she did the same thing. She asked, she's like, hey, are you better? And of course I am. And I appreciate you, Paula. Thank you. But the thing is, we should be doing that for our brothers and sisters in the church. We need to be there for one another. We need to have that support system. We should be growing together and sharpening one another on. That's what we're called to do. Church, I can't encourage you enough to attend either a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night class. The Sunday morning ladies class is about packed in that room. I think you guys are like sardines all squished in there most Sundays, but there is growth and there's excitement within that class. The Zeke's class down in the fellowship hall and the Dudes and Donuts class down in the old youth room. These Sunday school classes are opportunities for you to get in and be able to sit down and talk with other believers. It's that fellowship and that communication and that community that when you're just here on a Sunday morning listening to Larry or myself or Zeke preach, you don't necessarily get the same camaraderie and community that you get during those classes. Here's the thing. These are just three tips. There's hundreds of thousands of different ways to get through tough times. These three tips that I'm giving you, they are not the only tips that exist. But I know that we're in a time where people are hurting. I know from talking and counseling with people that there are brothers and sisters in the church that are hurting it. And so today, it's not just about understanding that we are hurting. It's understanding that there are things that we can and should do to have one another's backs. It's understanding that there are tips and there are ways that we can help get through. And remembering to endure is important. But the truth is, church, tough times aren't fun. Listen, I didn't enjoy dealing with the car issues and the insurance junk, and I didn't enjoy going through some of the work struggles that I've had over the last couple weeks. To be honest, that wasn't fun. But my stuff in comparison to some of the struggles and the trials and the tough times that some of you guys are going through right now, and that's just the ones I know about. So church, I want to leave you with this. God is there for you. He is always there for you. The church is here for you. We here at Open Door Baptist Church, we love you. Okay? I can speak as one of the pastors, right? But I can speak from just me personally that, listen, I love you guys. If there's something I can do to help you, I think everybody in this room knows that I'll do anything I possibly can. Except maybe run a 5K tomorrow. But lastly, and honestly, this is probably the more important one for the moment. Though the tough times are there, you need to know there will be an end. So, what does that mean for you? Well, church, I pray that it means that you know where you're going. I pray that it means that you know exactly who your Lord and Savior is. And I pray that it means you know exactly what to do through tough times. I pray that you know that you have people that you can rely on, but that God is the ultimate and that He will always have your back. So as I close today and I remind you all of these things, and as I ask the praise band to start coming forward, I just want to open it up to you all. I want to open up the altar here for time to pray. Because listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I know that if you're like me, when you're going through these tough times, that having somebody pray over you, that's that part of community that it helps and it helps bring others to you. And listen, if you're not going through something, I just pray that you take a minute to pray for somebody else. Because, brothers, sisters, there are plenty of hurt people here in the room today. So with that said, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, for your mercy and your grace. God, thank you that we can come and gather in your name, that we can seek you. Thank you, God, that you love us so much that you've sacrificed it all for us. God, I pray that today as we come before you, that we remind ourselves always, Lord, that you are the loving, powerful God you are, and that you take us down the path you've called us to go. Lord, it's in your great name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Will you all please stand?
Never fails me in all my days. I've been held.
as you go this week, I pray that you sing of the goodness of God. That in those tough times, in those difficult situations, that you heed some wisdom, that you heed God, and that you seek Him in everything you say, in everything you do. Go out this week and praise Him through all things. Have a great week, everyone.
And all my life you have.